Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. We have a big bunch of people in the studio this morning. We have our host, Mike Davis, and the original founder of Christ Today, Curtis Smith. And we have a number of people from YWAM today to talk about their missions trip to China. We have Zach, David, and Daniel. Oh, this is going to be a good show, and we hope you enjoy it.
Curtis, why don't you welcome back, first off.
Thank you.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Why don't you go ahead and start us off with a prayer for us and a prayer for the listeners.
All right, I'll give it my shot. Lord, we thank you for being with us today on this program, and we just pray that you would bless the listeners as they listen, and that you would help us to have a good show, and we just want to give you glory for everything you say, and we just thank you for this day. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. So, we have three of your associates from YWAM.
Three of the students of the DTS Discipleship Training School are here, yes.
Okay, would you introduce them, and then we'll go ahead and turn the mic over to them and let them kind of introduce themselves.
Yeah, I'll definitely introduce them. I'll start with Daniel Chavez. I'll start with Zach. I don't know his last name. I forget his last name. What's your last name, Zach?
Miller.
And then David Knock.
Okay, so Daniel, you are the team leader. Go ahead and give us a recap of, first off, introduce yourself a little bit. And then what we'd like you to do is give us a recap real quick of what your team is about.
Okay. Well, my name is Daniel Chavez, like Curtis said, and I've been here with Youth with a Mission in California for 3 years. Before that, I was in Central America. That's where I grew up. And so I know we've had a few people from YWAM on your show before. So just a recap of what Youth with a Mission is, we're one of the largest Christian missions organizations in the world, and we do all kinds of stuff. We focus on three main areas, which are training, evangelism, and mercy ministries. And so I here in Chico work in our training department for our discipleship training schools, which is the introduction to YWAM worldwide. We have, it's called a DTS or a discipleship training school, and anywhere you go in YWAM, this is the entry-level course that we, it's a six-month discipleship season that students come in, and they have 12 weeks where they're doing lectures, getting to know who God is, and then we have an 8 to 12 week practicum where we go overseas and put that into practice, and that's what we're getting ready for here in a couple, actually a week from now, we're going to be in China.
Excellent. David? Yeah. Introduce yourself and let us know whether or not this is your first mission.
Okay, well, this will be fun. I am David Knock. I came here to YWAM Chico up from Washington, and I was actually born in Paradise around here. I grew up at the YWAM base that we are currently at until about I was 9 years old. And then it's funny you asked if this is the first mission I've ever been on, because when I was nine, we went to Fiji. And that was my first missions experience. We lived there for about 5 months and ministered to the locals. My dad helped raise up some churches. And we actually got kicked out of the country by some Muslim leaders there. And then so we went to New Zealand to try to get back into Fiji. But after a while, that didn't work out. So we came back here to YWAM Chico. And then we've traveled all over the place. We've gone to Canada. We've gone to Idaho. And we've been in Washington for the past 5 years. And now here I am back in YWAM, where I grew up, learning about God, about his character, and how he loves everyone that everyone that's on this earth. And I'm so excited to take that love to China.
Excellent. Welcome. Zach.
I'm Zach. I'm from Yuba City, California. And I've always known about YWAM. I grew up in the church, and my first time on a mission was probably when I was like three. My parents took me to Mexico. I kind of been going to Mexico every year since, and God really called me to missions and told me to come here to YWAM Chico to do a DTS, so that's why I'm here.
Now in Mexico, were you part of the crew that were building down there?
No, we worked with Azusa Pacific University, and we did some building projects, but mostly we did vacation Bible schools and just helping with local churches.
Outstanding. And Curtis?
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Tell us about your missions experience.
Well, I've been to Mexico 3 times, and this is my 4th time going on a mission trip, and I wouldn't have never thought China. I started with, as most of the listeners probably have heard in the past, I started with mission building last year, and through that I heard there was a trip going to China, and there was a school in the winter, and so I decided that I would give it a shot, filled out the application, got accepted, and I've been in the school for the last 10 weeks.
Okay. Well, one of the things I'd like you all to know is this automatically brings on with it a commitment for a follow-up, okay?
Because
when we bring in people that are going to go on a mission, okay, we're also going to bring you back for a follow-up interview to say, okay, how'd it go? So what we want you to do is, Daniel, if you would right now, give us a little bit of an insight as to, because this is, you are the team leader here, so what are your goals for this mission? What does success look like?
Well, as many of you know, China is still considered a semi-closed nation to the gospel, even though it's still one of the fastest growing churches in the world. For us, we're going to have 2 teams going into this nation, and for security reasons for the locals that are there, I can't disclose exactly where we're going to be going, but we want to partner with the local church. There is a movement and a word that has come out of China that's called the Back to Jerusalem Movement, and it's essentially a word that God gave leaders of the Chinese church, saying that there's going to be missionaries raised up from China, and they're going to come from the east back west towards Jerusalem. And if you geographically, if you know what nations are in between, it's essentially the 1040 window. It's some of the most unreached nations still to this day. And so we're excited to partner with the local church and train and equip them. And a lot of what they're asking is to help them with cross-cultural missions training, which is something that we do as YWAM, is one of our pieces of our DNA, is we go cross-culturally. And we're international and interdenominational, so we have a little bit of everything. And that helps us to bridge the gap between cultures and denominations. So that's going to be part of what we're going to be doing, but also sharing the gospel in areas where there's minority groups. As you know, China has so much diversity in culture. It's not just what we traditionally think as Han Chinese, but there's so many groups and language groups. So we're going to be focusing on one in particular in Central Asia, which is the western side of the country, if you see like where it's located in Asia. And so we're excited to take the gospel to them. A lot of them have never heard of the name of Jesus before. So some of the areas where we're going to be going, they have never heard who Jesus is. So we get to take that message of hope and to them.
Excellent. How do you bridge the language gap?
On our team, actually, this year, we are very blessed to have a local Chinese that's going to be traveling with us, as well as someone who speaks the language of the people group that we're going to. So we have 2 native speakers that are going to be on our team. But also, one of the things, I was in China last year, and one thing that was really effective is they have a thing called English Corners. And a lot of students want to learn the English language. So for us as foreigners, it's a great opportunity to go in and say, do you want to come practice your English with us? And we share our culture. And through that, we can introduce the gospel in a way that is out of our own personal experience. And that makes it very real to them.
Excellent. Excellent. So, Curtis.
Yeah.
How much of a student of the scripture have you been since you've studied with Wyatt?
Every day, man. We learn the Bible every day. It's from 7:15 to 8 o'clock every morning, and then we do 3 hours of class, and we do memory verses every week. So I try to remember and retain as much as I can.
Excellent. Excellent. So what does the average day look like?
The average day starts at 6:30 in the morning. Breakfast, then we have Bible study, then we have class, and then actually worship, then we have class, and then we do lunch, and then we do family time or whatever else we want to call it, and then we do work schedule, and then we do dinner, and that's pretty much how the day runs.
Okay. Zach, describe the class.
The class is each week there's a different speaker, different topic, and it's 2.5 hour, 3 hour class, and we all kind of sit around in our seats and kind of just listen. It's kind of like listening to a sermon for a week long, really. So it's, 15 hours almost of sermons,
yeah,
if you want to sum it up, in 1 week, and that's for 12 weeks straight. So it's a lot of information to retain. So okay. We take lots of notes and try to get as much as we can, and just kind of after class kind of try to meditate on it and try to gain wisdom and knowledge on what the speaker's talking about.
Okay. David, would you say these are canned or are they live?
Canned or live, as yeah. in
the presentations in the class. The
presentation, they're live. We have a lot of interaction with the speaker. We can ask a lot of questions. I know personally I've really loved hearing what these speakers have had to say, because many of them have a lot of stories and life experiences from the mission field, from pastoring, from teaching the Bible in different places. So they really give us stories that build our faith, that as we go, we can do the same things they've done. We can see even more if we ask God to work through us and really are obedient to what he asks us to do.
Okay, are these speakers right there in Chico face-to-face, or is it a web-based conferencing?
Yeah, they come to us, so they're from various different states and countries and all that, but they come to Chico, and they come to our classroom, and yes, it is face-to-face.
Okay, are they also associated with YWAM permanently, or are they from outside that are coming in?
Well, the way our lectures are built up, and this is the same with YWAM Worldwide, the beauty of being such a big thing is that our DNA stays the same, because we have certain things that we want to keep. So like if I did my DTS in Chico, or someone did it in Hawaii, or someone did it in Guatemala, essentially the DNA of the school will be the same, even though you have different speakers and you have different topics that are, the curriculum is the same. So there are certain things that we want to touch on, and we try to break it down into three main areas, which is you and God, so getting to know God and his nature and his character. You and others, learning how God created us to relate to other people and sharing the gospel with them. And then you and the world, you God and the world. And so relating, you know, our relationship with God reflects on our relationship with others. And out of that, getting to know God's love and knowing who he really is, it pushes us to want to share him with our neighbors, with our, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be overseas. We do an overseas practicum for the cross-cultural experience, but also just understanding that wherever your feet are, that is your mission field.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, amen.
So we do try to get a mix of speakers. We want people who are active YWAMers, but we also get pastors that are from our local area and other people that have been doing ministry for years, and some of them have had cross-cultural experiences. Some of them are local, and they stay local. So it gives us a variety of seeing a bigger picture of the body of Christ, because it's not just about YWAM. It's about what is God doing globally and what is God doing in his body as a whole and not just one segment of it. Yeah.
Okay. And one of the things that I'd like to suggest is as you go over to China, you know, there's a lot of people that ask, okay, why am I doing this? What is my motivation? What motivation are you trying to pull out of people in YWAM? Are people coming in with a predetermined, this is my mindset, and you're trying to make sure that their mindset is correct on missioning, because not all mindsets can speak the gospel to other people. So what is the mindset of the YWAM missionary?
Well, essentially our motto in YWAM is to know God and make him known. And so the way we do that is by going to his word. So all of our speakers are people who have studied the word of God and have gleaned from, you know, God, his spirit brings revelation to the word, but also just even their life experiences and their journey with God affirms what is written. And so that's the main mindset, that we know God first and then make him known. If you don't know who he is, then you can't make him known to another person. And that's true for anything. Like out of like when we talk about our best friend or we talk about somebody that we care a lot about, it's because we've spent time with them and we've gotten to know who they are and how they think and why they do the things that they do. And so essentially in YWAM, that's what we want to do. We want to get to know God for who he is and who he says he is. And it's written, and he says, come, let us reason together. You know, that's written in the word. And so that's part of what we do in the lecture portion of the school, is that we teach our students how to spend time with the Lord and hear from him and go into, you know, Curtis is saying every morning we read the Bible from this time to this time. And it's like, come on, let's dive into the word and see what God is saying about who he is.
Okay. So what happens, let's say that you have somebody that is Chinese and they're sitting in front of you and you're witnessing to them, and all of a sudden you recognize that, yes, they need Jesus in their life, but their problems are substantial, okay? Because you can run into that here in Northern California, where you run into people that are, you know, they're enslaved to addictions of one type or another. Okay, how do you handle that on a mission that is, you know, limited in time? Mm-hmm. You're not over there for a great amount of time. What kind of resources are there in the Chinese Christian community that you can point these people to say, this person needs some long-term advocacy?
So as many people know, it's not just about evangelism. It's not just about getting the person to know Jesus and say yes to him. There's a discipleship process that we're all in. We never quite finish learning when it comes to God. I mean, he's infinite. And so the beauty of short-term missions is that we get to go and be a support to those that are on the ground full time. There are people who are in these nations that we go to, and sometimes we're the first person to go to a particular village or town, but then because we've made the first contact, we can communicate to the person that's there locally and say, this is what happened, please follow up with them. And like I said, there is a very fast-growing church in China. A lot of it is underground still. And what I mean by underground is that they're not recognized by the government as an official church or as an official religion or whatever. There is a state church, a state Christian church within China that is legal, but there's a lot of them that are still, the growth is happening under the radar in some ways. So we get to connect them with them, and a lot of it is like home church style. So you want to get to know the leaders of those churches and connect them so that there's further discipling after we're gone.
Okay. And some of these questions, it's not like I'm trying to ask you 20 questions here, because I know there are some things you can't answer, because some of these people would be put at risk, especially with an underground church over there. So are you taking any type of Christian literature with you?
Yes, that is the plan. We're not exactly sure how much or where it's coming from yet, but that is the plan.
So it's going to meet you over there?
No, at this point, we're wanting to carry this material. And a lot of what we're going to, it's kind of hard to find written Bibles in some of the languages that we're going to be working with, because they use an alphabet that is not common outside of the nation. So we have found audio Bibles, so we're going to be taking those in, which are, I don't know if people have seen them, they're like little MP3 players that you can put a battery in, and it's the whole Bible in their language, in their mother tongue, which is really important that it would be in their mother tongue. And so we're going to be taking several of these in. What we're not sure about is how much bulk of it we can do and get away with, so... You can be praying for us for that. We can get that across the border without any problems. But we want to take audio Bibles in for sure. And in the nation, we can actually purchase Bibles in Mandarin Chinese, which is the official language that everybody learns in school. So anybody who's had schooling will be able to read Mandarin Chinese. So we're hoping to be able to purchase quite a few of them once we're in country. So you know, at that point, we're not smuggling across the border. We're getting it in the nation, which is a little bit safer for our team. But we're excited to be able to bring the Word of God to some of these people who have never had it before.
Listeners, we're having a great discussion here on Christ Today. We want to thank our sponsors here today. It's Bill Hammond. He is with Lighthouse Tabernacle in Gridley. And I'd remember him because he has a wonderful Sunday fellowship celebration, and this is Sunday school first at 9:45, and the worship services on Sunday are at 10:45, and there's one in the evening at 6 p.m. So go see him at 920 Ohio Street in Gridley. You'll enjoy the service. And now we are back to Christ Today. We have a nice mix here today. We have our host, Mike Davis, and we have our longtime host, Curtis Smith. And we're listening to YWAM in their trip to China. So here we go.
Okay, so you have described the YWAM mission around the world as training, evangelism, and mercy ministries, missions. And I assume that what we're looking at here in Chico is the training element of this. Are you also trying to train the leaders of, let's say, China's ministries, underground ministries? How deep does your training go with the people of China?
So like I said, YWAM is global. We have places all over. So every YWAM base tries to have expressions in all three areas. So the evangelism part is we going out and sharing who Jesus is with people. We do it here downtown. We do it on the weekends. We go to the college campus. We go out to Hamilton City. We do different things like that. And part of our mercy ministries aspect is also that meeting practical needs in the community. And so a lot of that is things that we do practically. We do actually quite a lot of it is happening in Hamilton City right now for us locally. Now, the training aspect in China is we want to be able to equip missionaries, people who have the call of missions on their life, and they know that God is calling them to share the gospel outside of where they're at and to be sent. And so those are people that we want to partner with. And we have we've had opportunities to go into different churches and be able to have workshops with them. And it's not as long as our program here in Chico. But we try to condense it as much as we can to provide them with tools that will be very practical for them to employ.
Okay, so without giving away any personal information, do you already know who you're going to be meeting over there, the local missionary?
There's a few that we're in contact with that we're going to be partnering. You can be praying for them. They're there long term. Some of them are local Chinese. Some of them are foreigners. And they will connect us with even more people. Like, they have their networks within the country. And like I said, the church is growing, so there's tons of opportunity to go within the church. We still have to be careful to not draw attention to them, but we do want to provide them with the things that they're wanting. The state church that is... one of the religions that is recognized by the government in China is Protestantism, but in that they basically group all Western religions. So Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, you know, the Protestant Church, Catholicism, it's all grouped into this one category. And so there is a thing called the State Church of Christ. So it's a Christian church, but even within that, they're limited in some of the things that they can teach on. And, like, the creation story is one thing that they're discouraged from teaching. Or
really? Why is that?
I'm not entirely sure. I do know that a lot of the things like hearing God's, you know, that God speaks or that
to the
Holy
individual.
Spirit. Yeah, that the Holy Spirit is, you know, available to us. A lot of those things that talk about individuality and being able to think and reason on your own and doing all these things are... things that are discouraged because it goes against socialism and against the People's Republic. So there are some things that they are limited on teaching, and that's where they want further training because there isn't really a whole lot of people talking about it, you know? So when there's a lack of something, there's that hunger as well. So people have the Bible and they're like, I'm reading these stories, but nobody's really teaching about certain things. So that's kind of where we want to jump in and be like, and not that we have all the answers, but to go in and explore the word with them and be like, okay, what is God revealing to you as you read this Bible? And, you know, they come up with these questions, and being able to just help them explore and hear from God as well.
Yeah. And I understand that, you know, in a personal God, the idea of a personal God probably scares socialists and communists crazy, because they want a mass that can be controlled by, you know, that's where the Muslims come in, you know, because they have an imam, and the people, you know, they're rank and file behind the imam. And I don't want to throw rocks at, you know, any other denominations, but you have a lot of other denominations that they will have a central figure that says jump, and these the folks in that denomination say how high and when may I come down, you know. Mm-hmm. And yet many who entertain, not just entertain the notion of a personal God, but have an actual relationship with the author of creation, you know, they don't march to anybody's tune. They march to the tune of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit guides them. And that must scare people that want to control individuals to death. No wonder they're trying to not have a lot of individual churches that spring up, because that affects how they can control individuals. Yeah. So yeah, the message of having a helper and having, you know, a comforter and having someone who guides them on all truth, that's pretty important message there. So I'm just guessing, but I assume that when you first get there, you're going to be meeting at least one or two of the local missionaries who's going to give you a kind of a briefing, do this, don't do that, stay away from this. So it's important to have fences over there. So how much, I guess, you know, as you're speaking to some of the locals and they're practicing their English and you're going to be practicing your evangelism while they're practicing their English, that's an interesting concept, you know, of how much you're going to be planting seeds and how much you're going to be watering seeds. When you come back for a follow-up, we'd love to know, what was the mix here? Were you planting more seeds than you were watering, or were you actually watering seeds that had been planted by somebody before? And it'd be interesting to find out if you're going to be able to convert a number of people from this, you know, authorized church to the, you know, an underground church of a personal God. So that's very interesting. So as you go, you were talking about memory verses. Zach, let's start with you. Give me a memory verse. What memory verse are you taking to China with you?
For me, it's a really a small passage of Romans that kind of, like, from the beginning of the season kind of stuck with me. And I'll read it here. It's Romans 5. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And so for me, that's always been something that, you know, I've always held on to, that, you know, all this stuff is happening for a reason, and God's in control, and I just have to stay hopeful that he's, you know, he's got me in his hands.
Very good. That sounds actually like that is going to speak to a number of the people in China, because it seems like the experience when you get to, you know, somebody behind the Iron Curtain or whatever, is an existence of endurance and perseverance and, you know, just trudging along.
Yeah, I think especially for when we go to maybe some of those underground churches, just to help them, you know, encourage them and stuff. So, yeah.
Absolutely. David?
Yeah, so I've had a passion always for missions growing up in it, and really one of the biggest passages that has really impacted me that I'm taking over with me is Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And really, my passion is to see people saved. I really, really, really want to see these people in these places who have never heard the gospel, to hear a clear presentation of who Jesus is, what he has done. That in Romans 10 earlier says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's really what I want to see as I go to China, is I want to share this faith. I want to share my belief in the gospel. That is the power of God for us who are being saved. Even though it's foolishness to the world, for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And that's what I want to bring to them. I want to bring to them the power of salvation. So I'm excited to see that and what God will do through us.
Excellent. Good word. Good word. Preach it. Curtis.
I'm going to stick with a simple John 3:16. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, it's that simple, that it's believing in Christ, having a relationship with Christ, and knowing that he died, that whoever would believe in him could have eternal life.
Very good. Very good. That's the straight gospel. Daniel.
Well, as Curtis was saying, we've been having memory verses throughout the school, and a lot of them have to do with a theme that we felt like God gave us for this season for all of our students, and it's Awaken Dreamer. And so it has to do with dreaming with God and dreaming for those things that for us seem impossible, but with God they are possible. So one of them that really stuck with me is in Ephesians 3:20, and it talks about that by the power of him who is in us, he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think or dream of, according to the power that works within us. And but before that, the verse before it talks about that we would understand the depth and the breadth of God's love for us. And it's out of understanding that love that we begin to believe and begin to understand the power that is at work within us. And so that's kind of what I want to see happen in China, that God's love is a power that is not matched in this world. And it can break down strongholds. It can break down addictions, like you were saying earlier. What happens to those people that have problems? And I truly believe that God's love has power to break all those things off. I mean, we sing about it. We talk about it. But it's something that I've come to really see is that God's love has a power that goes beyond culture. It goes beyond language. It goes beyond, you know, my ability to share the gospel. It's God's love really is what encounters people and leads them to repentance, and it leads them to salvation.
That is so excellent. Yes, absolutely. And that reminds me, and even while you're saying that, that reminds me of Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. We're not doing it ourselves. This is not a work that we get to roll up our sleeves and just, let's do this self-help thing and pull ourselves up by the bootstrap. If God is not working in us, nothing is happening.
That's right.
Apart from Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, ye can do nothing. And if you do a word study on nothing, it means nothing. There's no word study necessary. We are absolutely helpless without the Lord working in us. And that's a good message also to, I mean, these folks in China, they're looking for this connection with God, with the author of their salvation. And they need to understand that that connection has to be absolutely, this is not something to dabble with. It's either all in or all out. Let's not play games with God. If they're going to, you know, receive Jesus, then they need to receive all of Jesus. We don't need to be going over there and how shall we say? We don't want to deliver a legalistic message. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the problem with Israel. That's what Isaiah was saying, is, you know, you guys have a to-do list, do this and don't do that, and you know, you think you're good with God because you're going through some type of formality or some type of ritual, and that's the one thing they don't need. They don't need a mm-hmm. ritual. They need a relationship.
Yeah.
So that's so important for evangelism and So anyway, let's go ahead and regroup here and talk about the third leg of the YWAM mission, and that is the Mercy Missions. How open are you going to be to that in China? Are you going to have some opportunities?
Yeah, we're going to have some opportunities to work with different things. Like, I know for one of our team being able to go and support some local programs, like there's some sports programs and different things that they're going to support that provide opportunities in the community for kids to get out of certain things. I mean, we're all familiar with youth programs that help youth stay out of being at risk, you know, of drugs or alcohol or, in China, in some cases, slavery. So we'll be able to partner with some things like that. We're going to be working with an organization as well that works with single moms. And this one is actually like a nonprofit, so that's why I can talk about it. And they work with the homeless a lot. So a lot of that is meeting practical needs of people. And if anybody knows anything about Chinese culture, being a single mom is a very big challenge because they usually have to work to meet, you know, make ends meet. And so being able to help them develop trade skills and stuff like that. So I'm excited to be able to work with this nonprofit for a little bit. And also they're going to show us what the homeless community looks like in some of these big cities. As you know, cities in China are a lot bigger than they are here in the United States. Like for them, a small city for us would be like something the size of San Francisco. Like that for them is a small city.
Well, this is a great discussion we're having here about the upcoming YWAM trip to China. This is great. Now, we thank the sponsors that we have here of Christ Today, and one of them is Mark Hicks. He is pastor of the Calvary Christian Fellowship in Oroville. He has a great service. I hope you go by and see him. He has a Bible study at 9:45 and a worship service at 11 o'clock. So Mark Hicks is Calvary Christian Fellowship is located at 3855 Fallbrook Avenue in Oroville. So go by and see him. We're having such a great time here on Christ Today with the YWAM people. Thank you very much, Zach. Thank you, David, and thank you, Daniel. And, of course, Curtis Smith, founder of Christ Today, and back now with your host, Mike Davis. Here we go.
Okay, so, Curtis, tell us, because you have been the host here, and you have spoken to Carlos and a number of other evangelists that have been in and out of evangelism for years. What is different now about your understanding, what's different about your paradigms now being on the other side, having gone to classes, having gone to prepare for missions other than when you were, you know, interviewing, you know, such as Dr. Judy Bowes and Carlos and some of these others?
Well, I think, experience beats talking to all the people that have done what they've done. I mean, this has given me experience and taught me how I can impact and how I can be an impact in people's lives and encourage people. And so it's not just talking to somebody that has done it, but it's having learned it so I can do it myself and I can allow God to use me over there in this country the way he chooses to.
Okay. So let's talk about most everybody here, if I remember correctly, even at a young age or a really, really young age, has had a certain amount of cross-cultural experience. Daniel, you've had the most. You were raised where?
I was raised in Guatemala. I guess cross-cultural is just part of my DNA. I was born in El Salvador. My father is from El Salvador, and then my mom is from the United States. So that in itself was already a cross-cultural home. And then when I was about 2 years old, we moved to Guatemala, and they've been with YWAM long-term since before I was born. So I was kind of born into this whole thing.
Okay, and then David, you seem to have been kind of born into ministry also.
I was, and my dad's, almost everything he's ever done has been ministry, whether it's with YWAM or working with the church. He started some schools of just practical training, and evangelism wherever he's been. So it's been really cool to be able to have that experience coming into this. And this has really been solidifying and taking me even deeper into these places that I want to go.
Okay. So, Daniel, let me ask you a question. Is this your first team?
First team leading?
Yes.
No, last year I went to China as well with a small team. And I've been working with teams for 3 years now here in California. And then I had one team before that. So this is my first time leading the whole school as in this season. So I'm the main leader right now, but I've co-led and I've also staffed this school in particular for a few years now.
Okay, so how many people are on a team?
On average?
On average.
It can be anywhere between 15 and 30-something people per team. Right now, we're splitting our team into two smaller ones. So altogether, we're about 16 people. So we're going to have two smaller teams of 8 going into the nation.
Okay. And now, when you get to China, are you, for the most part, going to split into groups of 2, like the normal evangelical model?
We tend to do that. As you guys know, in Luke, that's how Jesus sent his disciples out in 2s. So depending on the activity that we're going to be doing, we might do 2s. Sometimes we'll stay all together. Sometimes we'll do 2 smaller teams, like 2 teams of 4. Yeah, it really depends on what the need is for where we're at in that moment. But generally when we go out, we'll do either 2s or 3s depending on, you know, the area and, depending on what kind of culture you're in. Sometimes in cultures you don't want to send just a guy and a girl, or, you know, it also really depends on the makeup of our team, like how many females we have versus males. So it really, we won't know for sure until we're actually in the midst of it how we're going to, but generally we do send them in 2s or 3s.
Okay. How important is it for, let's say, a team of 2 to be, I want to say, I hate to use the word equally yoked, but relatively equal in their walk with the Lord. Is that important, or is it important to have a stronger member with one who has, let's say, hasn't walked in with the Lord? I guess from a spiritual standpoint, okay, because part of your training there is actual training in the Word, okay? Mm-hmm. So some are gifted in some areas and some are gifted in other areas. And so I guess what I'm trying to drive at here is, how important is it to have somebody who may be less strong in the Word teamed with somebody who is very strong in the Word, so that their gifts are complementary rather than, you know, trying to be against each other?
As the beauty of doing the school is that we all have the same platform. You know, we're all coming from the same kind of training. We've all been together for 12 weeks by the time we head out. So we have an understanding of kind of who's more outgoing, who's a little more shy, who needs help to start a conversation. And we'll try to pair ourselves up with people who complement our, you know, when we say equally yoked, for me, it's we are serving the same God and we're serving the same Jesus. And that's the Jesus that we're presenting. So in that sense, that is the yoke that brings us together. We're under that yoke of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it really depends on where we're at. But we do want to complement. Like, I'm not going to go with someone who has my exact same giftings or the same disposition to something, like, because that would defeat the purpose of functioning in teams. When we function in teams, is because we all have different strengths, different things that we bring to the table. So in our team of 8, even then, we have all kinds of, we have people who are more administrative, people who are more like, let's just go and do it. And so we need each other in order to have a well-balanced team. So when we go in 2s, we tend to try to send someone who's a little more outgoing with someone who probably is not as outgoing, but is really good at continuing conversation. And so, for example, I'm not the best at just going and starting a conversation. Like, for me, that's the awkward part. So I'll try to take someone with me that is very, like, can make friends with anybody. But my strength is more, like, continuing conversation and taking it to the deeper level. So I would say that's one of my strengths. So for me, I need to take someone who's good at the icebreaker stuff. You know, like, I just met you, but we're, like, talking about just about anything. And then I'll step in and be like, but let's take it to a deeper level. And so as we've been together for 12 weeks, we've kind of, and we've had chances to practice and to go out here locally. So, we've been able to see how we function, which is, it's a great strength to get to know your team before you go and do something like this.
Outstanding. Yes. And it is so important for the person who's not doing the talking to be doing the praying.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I mean, because, and listening to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to talk through both of you as a team. Mm-hmm. You can't just rely on one individual to take the whole conversation. That is tough. That is a tough job there. So, getting back to the Mercy missions, okay? Do you guys already have an allowance set up to help people that you find in a crunch situation?
Yeah, we do. When we plan our we call it an outreach because we're reaching out. We do plan for unexpected needs. And so part of our budget when we budget our trip includes for ministry expenses and for, you know, blessing people. Sometimes, you know, if we go, I know last year one of the things that we were able to do was paint a house for a family that has been there for quite some time in one of the cities we were in, and we were able to bless them by turning a house into a home for them. And so for some people that's like, oh, well, that's not that big of a deal. But for that family, it was a huge deal, like to say now it's home. Now it's not just a house, it's our home. They were able to pick out the colors, and as a team, we got to knock a whole house down in, 2 days? We painted a whole house, which is impressive. So we do plan for things like that, and sometimes we're able to meet a lot of needs, and sometimes we're more limited, depending on where we're at and what our freedoms are of what we can do. Like, it's a lot easier to, like, go to Mexico and build a house, because it doesn't draw any attention, you know, like it's normal. But where we're going, we have to be a little bit careful of not drawing a whole lot of attention, not so much for our sake, but the locals that are there. Like for us, the biggest thing, they'll, you know, they send us back home. But for the locals, we want to be careful for their sake, but not letting that stop us from trying to bless people, you know?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure that there are some paint jobs that would draw quite a bit of attention to in China.
Yes.
So what is the wardrobe that you guys are? You guys limited to what you can wear, or what you can? I mean, you guys are going to stick out. I mean, Zach, give us a go on that.
Well, from what I've been told by the leaders, I'm pretty sure it's going to be normal wear. It's very some parts where we're going, it's very westernized. So, you know, shorts, t-shirt will be somewhat common there. So yeah, just normal wear, what we everyday wear here in the States.
You wouldn't think that would be a reasonable question, but you know, you go to a church these days right here in NorCal and you wonder what the description of modest is. What is the definition of modest in the church? Because it seems to be, you know, not necessarily the same thing for every venue. And so when we talk about going to a different culture, the last thing you want to do is offend people just by showing up. Sometimes we will offend people. As Christians, we will offend people just by showing up, just by being there.
Yeah.
You know, that happened in Fiji.
Exactly.
You're an offense to the Muslims just by your presence, just by what your message has to say. And yet, you know, sometimes the scripture says is they hated me without a cause. We're not going to be popular everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. And yet the message, it seems like, is the message that they want to receive. Mm-hmm. You know, not just the people that want to go ahead and practice their English. We have an underground church there that really is desperate to have an individual personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that sounds like what the state-sponsored church isn't always looking for. Mm-hmm. And that's you know, some tough things. So, and I was just kind of wondering if you received any other tidbit as to don't do this, don't do that, don't end up in jail.
Actually, some of our team is like, I'm willing to be arrested for Jesus. And we're like, the willingness is good, just don't plan for it.
Yeah, don't plan.
No, as part of our, we train a little bit on cultural awareness and going to a new nation. Obviously, anywhere you go, things are different. I think the first area of culture shock is usually food. Yeah. That's as soon as you know you're not home anymore when you don't recognize anything on your plate. But, we try to get as much. The beauty of our team right now is that we have two people that are local to the culture that we're going to. So we've been able to learn a few phrases in Mandarin, and it's fun to, like, practice, and hopefully nobody will say something inappropriate. But, with modesty, like, that's a big thing. Like, a lot of people that are in westernized cities, I would say, like, very modern, but especially youth and college students dress very much like someone here in the United States. It's very common. But we want to always present ourselves in a way that's not sloppy. That's not like, we don't want to offend. So even in our casual dress, or even, you know, wearing jeans and a t-shirt, we want to make sure that it's something that we're still, like, looking respectable. And, like, because as you present yourself, that's how you will be received. And so we want to honor them and be received with honor. So, and as you know, in Asian cultures, honor is a very big thing. So we want to honor, especially those who are elderly, we want to honor them. So we try to be sensitive and take, you know, we'll go with our jeans and our t-shirt, but always have in our bags, you know, do I have something if I need to dress it up more? And especially if you're going to meet older people in these countries, they're more traditional in the way that they dress or in the way that they address things. So anywhere we go, we want to be sensitive to the culture. But also the beauty of being a foreigner is that we get a little bit of grace when we make a mistake.
Absolutely.
So they actually will probably laugh at us if we make a mistake, but it's endearing. It's a point of connection at that point too, because then we get to ask them to teach us their culture. And that for me is probably one of the best things about what I do, is that I get to meet people from different cultures and learn from them.
Absolutely. And how important is it to be able to laugh at yourself?
Mm-hmm. It's so important.
I mean, you know, Christians need to be able to laugh at themselves a little bit. I think that sometimes we seem a little bit standoffish, a little bit too serious, a little bit, you know, like we've had lemons for breakfast. Come on, let's have a little bit of joy. Let's demonstrate the joy that we say that we have. Yeah. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It can't be taken away from us. We have to give it away, you know, and so it really seems to me like being able to laugh at yourself, especially in a cross-cultural situation, is really a good icebreaker there. You know, you don't want to go out to, you know, make a fool of yourself. But if it happens, you know, let's
embrace it.
Yeah,
embrace the awkward.
Exactly. Embracing the awkward is sometimes a good thing. You know, it doesn't happen all the time. And usually it does happen by accident. You know, be ready in season and out of season. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
So, Curtis, anything to say about what you're preparing for?
I think I'm ready for the culture shock. I've only been to Mexico, and I've never been to China. But, you know, you were asking about the joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we're not able to have joy, how can we have you know, strength? We need to be able to maybe not smile and laugh all the time, but know in our hearts and know in our lives that Christ is our joy, that he's our strength. And we're doing it not of ourselves, but of him. Because if we do it of ourselves, it's all going to fail. But if we do it with him in us, who started the work, he'll be faithful to complete it.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a need, and that need is finances. For each one of us, that costs to go over there. We don't just get to go over there for free. And we are right now a total of about 15 grand short. And we've only got a week to go, but we're trusting in faith, believing in faith that God's going to provide it all. So if there's anybody out there that feels led to want to give to the cause, we would welcome you guys to call the Springs at 893-6750 and see how you might be able to help us out with whatever you can contribute. I thank God that I'm financially taken care of, but over here, I think there's at least two of them that still need financial support. And I know that God has provided. He's brought it in.
Mm.
There, just a week ago, 2 weeks ago, we were at $30,000 in debt, and now we're 15. But I know that if God's ordered it, He's going to take care of it. So I want God to be glorified, because He said, if He be lifted up, He'd draw all men into Him. And I want through us that the Lord would be glorified.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if there's anybody out there that has the means to make this happen, this falls to their account.
Yeah.
To help missionaries go is as if you yourself went,
mm-hmm.
because you're still taking the word to the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
last thoughts.
And I just wanted to add that, like, Paul talks about that you share in the fruit. You share in the fruit and the reward when you send out missionaries, when you give towards missions. You get to share in the fruit with them, rejoice with them for those that were saved, rejoice with them with what the Lord did.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage you that we don't just want to ask for money so that we get this thing, but we really want to encourage you. We want you to receive the reward as well. We want you to partner with us and to go with us in prayer and in finances. So like he said, if there's anyone that has the means, if the Lord lays it on your heart, just give it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Zach, last words.
For me, I'm just excited to be able to go to China, and yeah, I'm ready. You know, God, you know, I'm saying, here I am, send me, God. So, yeah, I'm just excited and for what our team has and what God has in store for us there.
Excellent. Daniel, last words.
Well, I just want to really encourage all the people who are listening. If they feel like this is something that they want to be a part of, either directly or indirectly, like, give us a call, visit our website. You know, if you have questions, we'd like to know more about what we do. We're here in Chico, and a lot of people don't even know we're out here because we're out in the canyon. But I encourage, we've had so many people come out recently in this last month because they've heard that we're out here, and they're like, I didn't even know YWAM was out here in Chico. And so a lot of it is, I want to get the word out because we want to be effective in our community. And so, yeah, if they want to visit the website, it's www.ywamchico.com, and that's YWAM. So it's the initials for Youth with a Mission. So ywamchico.com. And we have different things. And for many of you who are local, you've probably heard of Springs of Living Water or Richardson Springs. That's where we're located. And I know there's a lot of people who are like, it's closed. We're not closed. I mean, it's a private property, but we welcome people on to come and get to know who we are and what we do. And as possible, we want to share and take time with people. And so, like I said, these guys are just finishing their lecture phase for their discipleship training school. We run two of them a year, one of them in the fall, which is focused on Africa, the continent of Africa, and a few different nations that they're focusing on as outreach locations. And then the one that these guys are in is a frontiers focus, so focusing on unreached people groups that, So for us, some of the places we're going, like I said before, haven't had a chance to hear the gospel as much. So, and yeah, just an encouragement. I know we are missionaries that are sent overseas, and we train and we equip, but you don't have to go through a school to be able to share the gospel. You can share it with your neighbor. You can share it with that person at the grocery store that is having a rough day, and just show them love. And I think that for me is the biggest thing that I would like to encourage people with today is, you might not be able to do what we do and take your boots on the ground to another place, but that does not stop you from being able to share God's love right where you're at. And I think that's how we've been hearing this over and over, that this is how they will know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another. And when we love people well, we represent Jesus well. And okay, I just want to encourage people with that.
Very good. Why don't you go ahead and pray for us and for the listeners?
Yeah, Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that we get to come and share with on the radio, God. And I pray for all the people who are listening, that you would speak to them, that you would even encourage them, Father. I know that we are having a chance where we get to go overseas, but also, Father, I just pray encouragement over them, that even from hearing our stories, that they would be encouraged to step out in faith, God, and do new things with you. And Father, I pray that you would show us how to love others well, to represent you well, Jesus, wherever we're at, wherever our feet are at. We want to be good stewards of your presence, but also we want to be able to share your love with others. And Father, I just pray your blessing over this show, over this radio station, God, and I pray a blessing over every person who is listening right now, that they would encounter you.
Amen.